Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
You have your Bibles. I ask that you turn to Philippians chapter 3. Tonight we're going to be taking the verses from 10 through 16. Philippians 10 through 16. The Bible reads, "That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or that I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as us are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal these things even unto you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." This has been a really busy week. I'm sure it's been a busy week for everybody. I remember, I think it was Thursday, I received a call from a patient. We had a very long discussion about her concerns, about her medication. I thought to myself, I need to go talk to this provider. So I tried to call the provider after the phone call, and the provider did not pick up. So I said, you know what, I'll just walk down there. Just have a little face-to-face with him. So I started to get up from my clinic, and I walked, and I got out to the pharmacy, and there was a nurse. Nurse came to me and said, "Well, you know that patient we had yesterday?" I said, "Yeah, I know the patient we had yesterday. We had a long conversation with her. Talked about that patient's concerns. I talked about some of the things that the events was going on with that nurse's life. We said goodbye and I started to walk away. Well, it hit me that I just forgot what medication of the patient that I was supposed to go talk to of the other doctor. Well, I said to myself, it's not that big a deal. I will just look up the patient's chart and see what she's currently on when I get there, and we'll discuss it. So I continued on through the hospital, and then I came to this one section of the hospital where I met another provider. And the provider sat there and he said, "Well, let me talk to you about this tasking that I had for next week. Don't you have that same tasking?" I said, "Yeah, I have that same task." So we talked. And we talked about the things that were coming up for the next week. Ended that conversation. Started to walk away. And you know what? I plumb forgot the patient's name that I went to go talk to. Sometimes we lose focus. And why do we lose focus? It's because we have so many different things being thrown at us constantly throughout the day. Paul, in these verses, talks about focus, the importance of focus. The importance of things that we need to concentrate on, not just on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis, and then by a minute basis, that we can constantly have the recollection that we need to go throughout our spiritual life. Sometimes we just get too busy. Sometimes we just lose our focus. I struggle with this concept, as I just said. You know, sometimes I try to bite off too much, and then I sit there and recall that maybe I wasn't the best of what I could have been because I was trying to take on too much. I could have been better if I maintained a unanimous focus. It was a coinkydink that Friday, my boss sent me a little email. And on the bottom of his email, he always has these little sayings that strives to encourage people. And the saying for this Friday was, "He who begins too much accomplishes little." Now, he didn't know the struggles that I was having that week, but just that little reminder sometimes puts us in perspective of what we need to do. Tonight, I want to look at Paul's focus. Let us keep looking at Philippians 3, verses 10 through 16. Notice what Paul focused on first. He focused on a person. Philippians verses 10 and 11. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to the death, by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." Brian did such a great job this morning talking about relationship. Knowing something. When we look at knowing something, it involves a deeper relationship with that person. I can recall the first time I met Jackie, and I understood a lot about Jackie. But all these years later, I cannot say that I know everything about Jackie. But I know that I want to keep trying. It's a difficult idea of relationships. Yes, we always continue to strive to do something, to learn a little bit more about a person, and then they surprise us a few years down the road, and it says, "You know what? I didn't know that about you. I didn't know you disliked that." And sometimes we hear the words, "I've always told you that." Sometimes relationship deals with Christianity. God always tells us that. But sometimes, because we are immature in our relationship with Him, we don't actually hear it. Paul says his focus was on Christ. Knowing Christ in life. Paul wanted to know everything about Christ. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection. He wanted to know everything he possibly could, that he could be a better minister, that he could be a better Christian, that he could be a better person. Not just for himself, but for others. Paul wanted to know the power and the strength available to a Christian through the resurrection of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 real quick. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ." But notice this, what Paul says. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul says, "This relationship I want to know, I want it to engulf me. I don't want to just tap into something of knowing about a person. I want that very existence to overcome me with the idea of intimate knowledge. Only only when we have the idea of something, of knowing it in a scale that is so grand, can we have the confidence of what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. We all know it, don't we? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How did Paul have this confidence? Because he built the relationship upon something of a daily struggle. Yet, at the same time, he felt he had a constant need to be reminded. We talked a minute about relationships and marriage relationships. Every day I think that I know Jackie, and every day I get a reminder. But that reminder comes in Christianity sometimes too. That when we just feel enough that we are able to do something, boom, something comes in and puts us back. And then we start a process of knowing that maybe I wasn't as good as I used to be. Or maybe I'm not what I thought I was dealing with my relationship with God. Sometimes we all need a reminder. Because that reminder saves our souls. Paul wishes that for the Philippians here. In addition, Paul also wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. We read that in verse 10. Fellowship. We talked about the idea of defining words this morning. We talked about covenant. And how this was a not only knowing a person, but also having a relationship with the person. Yes, Brian, I was actually listening this morning. But it's the idea of never giving up. You know, as a relationship counselor, I often encourage people that the moment that you fail to learn about your partner is the moment your relationship starts to die. Paul's trying to tell that to the Philippians. Don't let your relationship die, but always strive to do a little bit more each day. Learn about something that you didn't know before. Think and meditate on things that you think you know. Paul felt no one could know Christ fully unless they experienced the suffering that Christ had. Turning back over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Paul writes, "For now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ." What was Paul saying there? That he wanted to know the very crucifixion, the pain that Christ did for him. Let me ask you a question. When you receive a gift, does the gift mean so much more knowing that the person put a little thought into it, a little effort into it, rather than just showing up and giving you something? Paul wanted to experience the gift that Christ gave for him. He wanted to know all about it. He wanted to give a little effort of his own because so much effort was given for him. Through the suffering for the cause of Christ, Paul came to understand what it meant to be under tribulation. Now I know we all have never suffered the trials and tribulations that Paul has suffered. I don't think I've ever been beaten. I've never been to prison. That I'm going to tell you guys. I'm just joking. But these are things that Paul understood. And through these things, they understood that the idea of a personal relationship comes with not only knowing the preface evidence of what was being given, but a developmental understanding. And what does that mean? That we not only know knowledge, but we understand what it's trying to tell us. By personal relationship, by personal struggle. We struggle every day with everyday trials. Sometimes we struggle for everyday Christianity trials. Well, what do? Do we use that as a time to better ourselves? To make us stronger? To make ourselves a point of strength? Paul concluded his words with, "Comfortable unto his death." Paul was saying to himself, you know what? I'm no more. I am no more. We often sing the song, "I am thine." But do we mean what it says? Galatians 2, verse 20, we talked about a moment ago. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul says it's no longer about me. This world, this earth, these things I do, it's not me. But it's something I want to become. Paul's desire to know Christ fully had four facets. A personal experience. These are the things that we need to learn that if we are going to grow. The four facets. Personal experience. That I may know him. How do we know a person? Give the time. Give the dedication. Give the study. A powerful experience. And the power of his resurrection. A painful experience. And the fellowship of his suffering. A practical experience. Being conformed to his death. Let me ask you a question. If we put all of our focus into knowing something, but we do not practice it, or we do not let it help us grow, what did we avail? Simple knowledge? Shouldn't we strive for a deeper understanding? Paul looked forward to knowing Christ in the next life. He thought about the resurrection. He focused on the resurrection. He thought about how much of a glorious experience it will be to know Christ fully and to be able to be with him constantly. He focused on the prize. Look at verses 12 through 14 of Philippians 3. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's looking at something. He's keeping his focus on something that we sometimes forget. And he's trying to remind the Philippians, guys, this is important. And focusing on the prize sometimes needs three reminders. First of all, regarding the present, we need humility. Humility. Brian talked about it this morning where he talked about we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Well, how much more is the Apostle Paul saying right here in Philippians 3? He sat there and said, not that I have already attained. Paul, the great apostle who studied under Gamaliel, a greatest Jewish instructor, who had the idea of the Holy Spirit in him. If Paul has not learned everything that he could, where do we sit on that scale? Stated in verse 12, either we be already perfect. Paul knew that he wasn't all that he could be. He wanted to maintain focus. The Bible challenges us to grow. We learn in Ephesians chapter 4. We also learn in 2 Peter 3:18 that we are to maintain a daily relationship with God through study. But we've already talked about how just the study is not enough. That application is required, or it's vain knowledge. Paul tried to keep himself humble in the present. But what about the past? When we deal with the idea of looking at the focusing of the prize, we need to realize that we need to have forgiveness of the past. I can honestly say I'm not the person today that I was in the past. Thank be to God. But if I dealt in my own conscience of the person I used to be consistently, all the time, I would maintain a stumbling block to go forward. Paul said in verse 13, forgetting the things which were behind. But what did Paul forget? He forgot all his past successes. Paul was what we call the Hebrew of all Hebrews. He was the best educated. He was in the Sanhedrin. He knew everything he possibly could upon the Jewish law. You could say that Paul was top shelf. But he said, you know what? Forget about that. I remember when I was in high school, I played on a lot of sports teams. Yes, we won division championships. Yes, we won state championships. Yes, we won so many championships, it was pitiful. I was a pretty good athlete in high school. But you know what? I can't even run my mouth without getting winded right now. If I stayed on the focus of what I had and lived in the past, I would never gain the future. Paul wanted to gain the future. Paul also forgot his past failures. And that's hard. Sometimes that's hard for us to forgive ourselves. It always seems to be constantly thrown up in our face. He admitted in the verses here that he wasn't perfect, that he had not laid hold on everything on a perfection scale. But notice what Paul did not do. He did not spend his time regretting. He repented and went straight forward. Now, I can remember, and I can think about a person in 1993 who was guarding Christian Layton. And if that man lived his life in just that one point of his basketball career, he would never be able to go anywhere else. But 1993 was dead to this man. And he went on to be a great NBA person. Let it go. Think about the things in your life. Have you ever messed up? Yeah. Does that make me who I will be? No. Because the person I was in the past is not the person I choose to be in the future. Period. The only person that can keep us down from our past failures is ourselves. What we choose to let into our lives. Paul's telling the Philippians, don't worry about what you were. Concentrate on what you can become. Many allow the past to destroy the present and the future. Flip over to Hebrews 8:12 real quick. The Bible reads, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Do you remember that from this morning? I think it was in the Old Testament. I want to say Jeremiah. But Paul says something here that encourages us in the New Testament. Guys, it's not who you were that's important. It's who Christ conforms you to be. What about else is the prize? Well, we need to regard the future. And that's what we're talking about. Progress is needed. When we dwell on the past, it sometimes becomes distracting and we get discouraged. Notice what Paul said. "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before." Now, you know I love my ASV. And if you look in the ASV in this point right here, it says, "Press on." Well, what does that mean? It means diligently trying to attain. It's not nonchalant action. It's that I am putting all my focus, all of my love, all of my attention on something that I care about so much, my eyes are fixed. What was Paul reaching for? The cross. Paul wanted something so greatly to be with his Lord. Paul knew, and so should we, that this can only be done if we fulfill our mission faithfully. And we live faithfully. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. We all know it. The idea of gaining something so precious to Paul, that he's trying to tell a young person, keep your focus. The last thing that Paul was focused on in these verses was people. Have you ever noticed Paul's writing? That he teaches biblical fact, that he teaches biblical precedent, and then he puts those two things into people. Because, again, what is knowledge without love? It's great that we get up here and teach and preach sermons every Sunday. But why do we do it? Because we love the people that we preach to. In verses 4 through 14, we see that Paul remains focused on his life. His life. Using words like I, me, my, myself. But look at verse 15. Where's the change? Notice the plurality. Let us. Paul wanted the Philippians to be a part of what he so likely strived for every day. You know, when we come home sometimes and we're the only person that comes home and we're in a big lonely house, how do we feel? Well, lonely, empty. But think about that house around Christmas time or about Thanksgiving when we got 1,000 people, it seems, around our tables and in our living rooms and all these things, and we see everybody that we love, that we want to spend time with around us. Think about every time we come to our congregation. That should bring joy to our hearts. But what if we looked out and we saw no one? Our focus should always be on others, as well as ourselves. Sometimes we need a reminder through God's word, which Paul was trying to say. Sometimes we need that gentle reminder by a brother or sister. Focus somewhere else, bud. Think about someone else. He ends the verses by giving a simple instruction. That's it. Simple instruction. Walk by this rule. Have the same mind focused on the same thing. Do you want the answers to having a focused, filled life? Focus on God. Focus on His commandments. Focus on His people. Just summed it all up. God's will for us is to be obedient. But brothers and sisters, obedience without the heart was something that was always condemned. How much more does it mean to a person if it's genuinely heartfelt? Paul said so many things in these verses. But he wanted one thing. Stay on point. Stay on point. You got your focus. You got what you need to focus on. And you got the people around you to focus with. To learn, to grow, to be better. There are many things that matter to us in life. True. It's important. Our jobs, our families, our friends. But if we neglect the small things of Christianity, how easy is it to us neglect the bigger things? Hopefully, Paul has struck a heart chord tonight. It has with me. Have I lost focus in some things? Yes, I have. Have I put more priority on other things? Yes, I have. But thankfully, God's word's there to give me a gentle reminder. Forget the past. Forget the present. Live to the future. If you're not a Christian tonight, the Bible tells us that we must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ. And then it goes to a point of living faithfully. And that requires so much more on each of us as a Christian. It requires focus. It requires intention. And it requires heart. Hopefully, those things are in each one of us tonight as we stand and as we sing.